Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
We're going to continue with our spiritual disciplines we've been speaking about, and we were talking about fasting, and we're not going very fast through it, right? We're going to finish today, I promise. And today we're going to, let's recap first before I get into it. All right, we talked about fasting, and the definition, or a working definition, let's just say, that we mentioned was that it is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal function. Okay, so it's denying yourself of something normal for the sake of intense spiritual activity. So I will restrain from something that I normally do or get or have in order to experience something different spiritually, an intense spiritual activity. Now, we need to be reminded that there is nothing wrong with some of these. I'm exploding and popping and going everywhere today, right? But he's got it under control. Are you sure that was me? Okay, good. He doesn't know. He just wanted to get back up here and be live on Facebook or something. Let's see. All right. We're turned on. Let's see if that works. I can scream and yell now. I don't have to speak softly anymore. Praise the Lord. All right. So fasting is when you abstain from something that you normally do, say, or something that you normally get or have in order to experience some intense. That's practicing holiness. And that's what we need to do every day anyway. But fasting is a special time that you set apart for whatever reason, right? And we talked about also various types of fasting. We talked about a normal fast in which you fast from everything but water. We talk about partial fast in which you fast from something. Or in particular, we talked about an absolute fast when you fast of everything. And then supernatural when it's a very long period of time that only with the intervention of the supernatural God that we serve can be possible. Basically, a miraculous fast, I call it. We talked about private fasting. We need to do it privately, but also it may be as a congregation, as a group, as a small group, or any type of occasion, specific occasion that will prompt us, right? And we talked about purposes also. Some of the purposes that we mentioned was to get guidance from God, to strengthen our prayers, to express grief, to seek deliverance, and also to express repentance and returning to God. But today, we're going to talk about a couple of things. I'm also going to give you a few more purposes for fasting, like the ones we mentioned, like to express grief and repentance and this and that. I'm going to give you a few of those. But before I get into those, I also want to tell you what fasting does, what we accomplish or what can be accomplished through fasting. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and reread what we read last week on fasting real quick that Jesus said in verses 16 through 18 of Matthew chapter 6. All right. So it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Am I in the right passage? No. I'm in chapter 5. Great. Who turned a page on me? I got to watch you guys. All right. Verse 16, right? Yeah, that's where we are now. Whenever you fast, do not put a gloomy face as the what? Hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen? So he's saying, you know what? You should fast. We ought to fast. We need to fast. So let's do it. But what does fasting do? I don't know. And this is part of personal experience. And maybe you can add some more to these. But I just want to show you two things that you can accomplish through fasting, or that fasting will do to you. Number one, reveals what controls us. It reveals what controls us. When you start fasting, you'll start finding out what controls you. When you have to go through fasting and you start getting all, oh my God, you'll start finding out what is it that controls you. You see, a lot of stuff we cover up by eating. Well, so you don't comfort eat. I don't know about that. I think we all do that in some way, shape, or fashion. But you see, some things come to the surface when we are fasting. And you see, it's not about just eating or saying, well, I don't, you know, some people say when they're sad, when they're mad, or when they're glad, they eat. It doesn't matter. I'll just eat. It's comfort for me. Well, it's not just about eating. It's about the feeling. You know what I mean? Feeling good, the good feeling. And sometimes when we're fasting, that's when we start finding out what is that moves us to want to have such good feelings. And what is it that moves us? And I'm like, oh my goodness, now that I'm fasting, all of a sudden I'm so hungry and we don't feel good, right? Pretty soon we begin to realize that we would do just about anything to feel good. Not just to eat food, but just to feel good. Oh my God. And then you start looking to replace that feeling that you have of hunger. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't eaten all day. I need to do something. I need to do something. What are you trying to do? You're trying to satisfy a need. You're trying to feel good while fasting so that you don't feel like you're fasting. You get what I'm saying? So all of a sudden you say, well, I'm going to fast for 3 days. I'm not going to eat anything, only water. And the first day you're like, I'm so hangry. You know what I'm talking about? You get hangry. Don't be pushing your man like that because he gets hangry. You know? But, you know, it's one of those things. You start getting so hungry and then you're like, okay, I need to do something. So what do? I'm going to go wash the car so I'll forget about this hunger. No, you're not doing it because you really think the car needs to be washed, even though somebody wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. But you're doing it because you want to distract yourself. You want to please yourself. You want to feel pleased in a way that you forget that you're hungry. You get what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, when you're fasting, you start finding out what controls you. What is it that makes you feel good? The things that you, because then you'll start gravitating towards what you're used to getting or having or doing to make you feel good. You know what? I'm just going to watch a movie. Did it occur to you that maybe watching movies drives you or controls you at times? You get what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm not going to eat, so I'm going to go do something fun. You know, does that drive you? Some people just say, I'm going to just go to work and get busy. I just got to be busy. Maybe being busy is what makes you feel good. You get what I'm saying? So it's about satisfying some type of need about feeling good. But also, it does not only reveal what controls you, but also reveals our anger. Do you notice that people get hangry? People get angry when they're hungry, right? How many of you go through that? Women usually don't admit it because they're like, I don't need to. I'm okay. But husbands immediately go like, oh, man, I'll get hungry, bro. When I get hungry, I get hangry, right? And you know what? Trust me. You go into a fast, and after the second or third day, you'll start getting hangry too. It's just no way out of it, you know? And you have to think about that because it's not easy going. You see, for example, you know, how many of you think I'm easygoing? Hey, thank you. How many of you think I'm cool people? Right? Hey, nice to get along with? You know, easy? just like that. You don't see, well, apart from screaming and yelling from the pulpit and doing this thing, usually I'm out there, I'm having fun. I'm smiling. I like to joke around. I like to, you know, and sometimes I go too far, so I got to be careful. But that's the kind of personality I have. But does that mean I don't get angry? Take my plate of food away. Watch me now. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel good at all. You know, I'm a nice and easygoing fella, you know, I think. But then all of a sudden when I have the pressure, you know, all of a sudden I start thinking about what angers me. It reveals that I get angry when I don't get my fill, when I do not have whatever it is. And then anger, frustration, hostility, bitterness. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me give you a secret. When I'm hungry, try to offer me something sweet. You want to see me start getting worked up? Don't you ever, if I am actually hungry, sweets are for desserts. That's not food. That is just the glory of God descending upon you after you eat. Okay? But I don't consider dessert food. That's just on another level, dessert. Okay? Dessert is what you do after you have stuffed yourself. Wow, that's not good, right? But when I'm hungry, I need something that has salt in it, especially if there's a dead animal, even better. It's got to be some meat, right? But don't come at me with a donut when I'm hungry. Let me eat first and then bring the donut. No. My wife knows that, and she does it on purpose sometimes. She offers me sweets when I'm hungry. No, it's just not right. But just to let you know. But you see, all of a sudden it starts bringing things to the surface. When you're fasting and you're digging in there, all of a sudden stuff starts coming up. All right. But we need fasting. And let me tell you a few things that we need fasting from. You know, not just food. Remember that the Bible mentions fasting of food. It doesn't mention fasting of anything else. But I think there's a few things that we should fast of. Or fast on or whatever or from. Okay. First of all, we need to fast from people. Sometimes you need a fasting from people. Have you ever felt like you need to get away from people? Well, that's a good thing. Do that once in a while. We don't want you around all the time. It's okay. It's okay to want to fast from people. It's okay to be alone. Solitude is good for the soul. But some of us just won't go there because we think that if we're alone, something's wrong. Well, some of us think if there's people around us, something's wrong. But really and truly, you see, when we just take time for ourselves and just set aside and say, you know what? I need some alone time. How many of you need that once in a while? Yeah? Right? Right? So let's leave them alone. Yeah. Let's stay, you know, go at it, you know. We have a tendency of devouring people and then have heartburn after it, right? Because we're around people all the time and we want to and this and that. But I suggest that we need to learn to fast from being with people all the time. Now, be careful because God is a God of relationships, right? And that time that you spend alone is not just alone. It's with God, right? So you're not really alone. You're never alone if you think about it. But from people. You see, solitude and silence teaches me to love other people. You know, when you're alone and when you really practice solitude and you start fasting and say, you know what, I'm going to spend a day all by myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. Trust me, people will come to mind and you pray for them. And you start appreciating some of them, right? That's what happens, right? The more solitary I am, the more affection I start building for others, you know, because I am reminded of their goodness and things like that and of their needs too. So just take a day to be alone, right? A lot of times we think we don't need it. I don't need it. Well, think about Moses. He got away for himself. He needed it. Elijah took some time to get away for himself. He needed it. Guess what? Jesus took away time for himself. He needed it. So we need it too. So let's just find time to do that. Number two, we need fastings from malls. You know what malls are? Well, let's just say, you know, shopping. For some, this is, and I want you to know, it's not just about compulsory, this compulsion of shopping, because some people get comfort out of buying something. Some people feel sad and like, you know what, whatever, and they go buy something and they feel better for the next 15 minutes and they want to return it, right? Because it doesn't fill you. It doesn't fill you for long. But I'm not just talking about those kind of people that go buying stuff when they're sad and they have to be, and when they get something, no, I'm not talking just about that. What we're talking about here is, you know, maybe take some time to say, you know what, I'm going to abstain from pleasing myself, buying some of these things, and thinking maybe about those who do not have the privilege of going to a mall and buying whatever they want. Maybe those who don't have. Maybe I need to go talk to somebody who doesn't have. Maybe I need to go buy something and instead of for myself, buy it for somebody else who needs it. And start thinking about others, you know. And maybe fasting from that and saying, you know what, I'm going to abstain from providing for myself my wants for a little while. How about you say, I won't go to a mall for 3 months? That would be great, wouldn't it, guys? Guys, I said guys. That would be great for girls, too. I usually go to the mall like twice a year. That's why you see me wearing the same old thing up here. I just go to the mall twice a year, probably 3 times at the most, unless we're going to eat. Right? I don't go past the food court much. And when I do, I buy me, like, for example, I go buy 5 pair of shoes. And then those 5 pair of shoes last me 5 years. You know, and you'll see me wearing new stuff for a month, and then after that, it's the same old thing. And it's okay, right? Maybe for me it doesn't. Maybe it's some other things that I do. But maybe I'm just talking about not providing for yourself what you want in order to be aware of others that may have some needs or something. Number 3, fasting from media. Oh, my God! From media. Oh, it seems like we need to spend some time away from the media. Have you watched the news lately? There is no good news. Honestly, let me tell you something. I am a fan of news. I used to watch news every single day, sometimes for hours. I'm talking watching news for 4 hours, staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch all the stuff from 7 through 10 or 11 that I didn't get to watch, trying to watch everything. You know what? Lately, I've quit doing that. I used to be aware and abreast, and I'm like, you know what? But that's okay. You know what? It's okay to know what's going on out there, too. But it's amazing to me how unwilling I am to go through an entire day, you know, not just knowing what's out there and things like that. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And some of us are slaves to social media, to the phone, and everything else, which we're going to talk about in a second. It's amazing. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have ever been on a retreat? How many of you have ever gone on a retreat? And when you go on a retreat, most likely you came back with a fire that was awesome. You're like, God spoke to me. This is amazing. And you're like, oh, no, we need a retreat. Maybe it's not the retreat. Maybe it is that you did exactly this, getting away from what's going on in the world and got kind of centered on what God is doing in your life and with Him alone. We don't need to go to a retreat and pay $80 or $90 for a weekend or maybe $120 for a weekend to hear God speak. Guess what? He is still speaking today. We just quit listening when we come from the retreat. That's the problem. You see, we come back and we say, God spoke to me. Well, no, He didn't quit speaking after the retreat. We just quit listening. So we can do that throughout fasting, through fasting if we do it on a regular basis or once in a while. You don't need to camp out to do that, and that's very important. It's on a daily life. It's a discipline that takes you, you know, away from the media. Have you thought about the ads? Oh, my God, all these LED ads now on the streets, right, when you're going, all the billboards, they catch your attention. And every single one of them is trying to get you to either do something, buy something, or give up something. You know? It's amazing. And we're just mesmerized by these things. And they keep us entertained. Have you noticed that? Media keeps us entertained. Now we have Netflix and we have whatever flicks and all the flicks and whatever flicks, right? I don't know. Now we have so many avenues to be involved in media. And this is crazy. We're so entertained and we don't see reality. Oh, yeah, but we're abreast of what's happening in whatever zombie land and all the other crazy stuff they show on TV, which I don't remember. A bunch of dead people walking around. That's all they show on TV nowadays. Have you noticed that? It's all about either dead people, drug people, or stupid people. And we're the ones watching all that, which makes us, I'm not going to tell you. You tell that to yourself. Even more that. Wow. We are entertained so much with these things that are not real. Let me tell you some realities that are happening in the world. 1.2 billion people, that's 22%, live on less than $1.25 a day. What would you do if you made $1.25 a day? Well, guess what? There are 1.2 billion people that make that or less a day. Aren't you so privileged? Oh, my God, you want to know something else? Almost half of the world, over 3 billion people, live on less than $10 a day. You make more money than half the people in the world. Actually, you probably make more money than 98% or even 99% of the people on earth. Yet, we don't see that reality because we're too entertained what's out there showing us. Let me tell you, 1 out of 9 people in this world go hungry, are living in hunger, while we throw away 1/3 of our food in the trash. We're living in a world, let me tell you a little bit of reality, where 1 million hogs, you know what a hog is, right? In the state of Indiana, have a better house or a better roof than how many people on this planet? 1 billion people. There is 1 billion people in this world that live in a place that's worse than a hog's pen in Indiana. This is just too crazy. We have been mesmerized with all this entertainment and we're not seeing reality. Maybe we need to fast from all this media and start seeing the reality that's around us. Number four, we need fasting from whatever. Next. Telephones. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Have you seen the people in the roads? You people on the roads in their cars? I am so guilty, and I'm trying. I need to do that. Maybe you need to say, okay, I'm going to fast from my phone every day while I'm in the car. Try that. See how many less accidents we have on the roads, maybe, if people did that, right? And I say including myself. Oh, my God, because our cars have become our offices. That's where we do all our business. Spend time on the phone, driving. Oh, who says I can't drive and talk at the same time? Some of us are not that able. I include myself. Telephone is a wonderful instrument, but it's okay until it starts controlling us, when we depend on it, when you just do so much that it's just... Have you seen people who stop praying because their phone rings? Now, this is a rhetorical question. I don't want you to raise your hand or answer it. Have you ever stopped praying because your phone rang? I hope not, because if you have, repent. Let me tell you, what conversation with anyone in this whole wide world could be more important than your conversation with the God Almighty? Yet we're like, okay, you're on hold, God. Hey, what's up? Because we know exactly who's calling us. Everybody got that, their names on there. And then if there's no name, we get more curious. I wonder who it is. No. Just keep talking to God. You know, I heard a pastor that was talking about this one time, and he was saying that a visitor came, and they were sitting at the table having dinner, and all of a sudden the visitor's phone started ringing. And he started to look, and he said, don't worry about it. It can wait. If they really need you, they'll call again. And he said, you should have seen the face on this guy. He was angry. He was hangry because they were about to eat. But he said he started sweating, and he actually confessed and said, you know what? You made me really uncomfortable. Because I really, 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 if you wouldn't have said that, the first thing I'd do is go for the phone. And I'm actually got to confess it. I feel kind of afraid because I'm not answering the phone. Do you get those feelings when the phone rings and you go, I know, I hear it. Where is it? Gosh, you know, it's crazy. I know that I've told you this, and maybe you guys do the same thing. When we're having a meal at my house, don't call me. Because if you call me, I ain't answering. And you may be thinking, well, the pastor eats all the time then. But I either text you back or call you back 3 hours later when I'm done eating and napping. No, I'm just kidding. But you see, the thing is that you have to put priorities. You have to think about these things. Maybe we need to fast from our phones. See, maybe just like, and a few days ago, I was with somebody from the church. I can't remember who it was now. But my phone rang about four times. And all four times I said, sorry, can't talk to you right now. And I dropped the phone. I kept talking to him. I can't remember who it was, gosh. And we just kept going and going, and my phone rang again. Four different people called me, and I said, nah, can't talk to you right now. And then I was thinking, maybe this brother in Christ is thinking, that's rude. The pastor doesn't answer phone calls. No. Why? Because I'm spending time with you, you dummy. I want to tend to you. I'd be like, excuse me. What? Excuse me. No. You see, maybe we need to fast from that kind of stuff, right? And when you let it ring, do this exercise. And that way you know, okay? Do this exercise. When your phone rings, don't answer it. But just look at it while monitoring your feelings. Try that exercise. Just watch it. Just let it ring. And just watch yourself and think about what you feel and all that, right? All right. Next, what are we on? Conversations. You know, fast from conversations. If you are like me, maybe you're not like me, but I'm a conversation type of person. I can't stop talking. I talk a lot. And then God calls me to be a preacher, maybe because he says, my God, that way he doesn't sin so much. Let him speak for have 45 minutes out there. That way he can get it all out. And yet I finish and then I go out there and I go yappity yap again. Some people just talk. Maybe we need to be quiet and say, you know what? I'm going to take a fast from conversations. I'm just going to be quiet. Wow, that would be something. That's a discipline of silence, you know? But why is it that we just can't stop talking or it makes it so difficult? Maybe because we feel a little maybe helpless when we don't talk. Because if somebody, you see, I'm so accustomed to relying upon my words, you know, because with them I defend myself, with them I explain myself, with them I tell about myself, and it makes me feel like I'm in control if I am talking, right? And this is true of everybody. It's just that some people don't seem to want to have so much control, and some others do, and somehow inside there's a difficult and trusting silence. That's why maybe James in the Bible said that the tongue is the most powerful weapon, right, of manipulation. It's just like a fire. It sets ablaze, you know, constant stream of words, because we're in an eternal effort to adjust our public image or make sure that people know that we're this or we're not that or whatever. Especially when you've done something wrong, all of a sudden you start explaining yourself again and again and again because you don't want people to misunderstand what you did or what you said or whatever. You want people to get it straight. You know, silence is a very difficult but one of the deepest disciplines of spiritual life. It's just put a stop on our talking so much and maybe we can see or hear something that God wants to say to us. Now let's talk a little bit more about what happens then or what we do, what purpose when we fast. Another purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves before God. Simply humble ourselves before God. You see, when you're praying, one of the expressions of humility or is prostrating, or when you kneel, right? When you get on your knees and you just lay it all down. It's a physical act that shows, you know, that you are humble. Humility. Well, in fasting, you see, it's a physical expression of humbling before God, but we have to be careful because fasting in itself does not mean humility. You see, when you look at the Bible, Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, Jesus is listening to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are saying, well, I fast twice a week and I pay tithe of all that I get. And Jesus, you know what? Probably he answered, I'm going to just paraphrase everything that Jesus said. Whoop-de-doo! Wow, I'm so impressed with you because you fast twice a week. You see, so fasting in itself may not be an act of humility. It may be actually an act of pride if you don't do it with the right attitude, right? So just like any other discipline, you can either practice it with a mentality of humility or you can practice it with a mentality of pride or whatever else. It's about the attitude, right? But it can be a great expression of humility in your life. When you think about Ahab was a king that was really bad, really, really, really bad king. And eventually, he humbled before God. He had to humble. And he went down on his and he started fasting. And actually, he dressed himself in sackcloth. And, you know, and some people, I know we've mentioned this a few times last week, and we'll mention it again today. But sackcloth, you know, it's like burlap. Have you ever dressed in burlap? Who wants to? Have you ever? Anybody? My grandfather did. Because that's all they could afford. The burlap sacks, they would cut holes and put a little rope, and that was what he wore when he was 3 years old. That's all they had. They had no clothes. That's how poor they were. But he said, it's like crazy. Can you imagine? Well, guess what? In Israel, you know, the customs of people was that when they were showing humility or repentance or they were going through some grief or whatever, they would dress in sackcloth, which was made out of black goat's hair. And then also some of them will pour ashes upon their head, meaning, you know what, I'm doomed. There's ruin. I have nothing else. I'm done. And it all was a sign of being uncomfortable, sorrow, symbol of mourning and repentance. A public sign, because they would do it out in public. They didn't dress like that and just lock themselves in the room. They went out in the streets like that. You see, when you see King Ahab in 1 Kings, it says that he actually fasted, and he dressed in sackcloth and all that. And it says that God decided not to punish him, even though he was an evil king. And guess what God did? What I was planning on doing to your kingdom, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait till your sons take over. Well, that's no solution, right? You may think, oh, my God. But yet there was evil. But God even listened to this evil king and passed him over on what he was going to do. That is something else. David fasted in Psalm 35, verse 13. Psalm 35, verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth and humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. You see, God answers prayer. God answers fasting when you do it wholeheartedly. Another reason for fasting is to minister to other people's needs. If you want to minister to other people's needs, if you want really to do something for other people, maybe you need to fast and you think about it. You cannot fast and expect God to act on your behalf if you are reacting in disobedience or acting in disobedience. You know what? The people of God also complain before God at certain times because they were doing stuff and they thought, well, you know what? We're fasting. But God is saying, you know what? It doesn't matter that you're fasting. What matters is that you're disobedient. Even when you're trying to fast, that's why Jesus turned to people and said, you're being hypocrites. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to see something. In verses 6 and 7, this is the longest passage in the whole Bible about fasting, in Isaiah 58. And in verses 6 and 7, it says, Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? You see that? Isn't this the type of fast that I want? I want you to set people free, Israel. It is not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house. When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You see that? Isn't that the kind of fast that I want, God says, for you to help the needy, for you to go out there and do something for somebody else? That if you want to fast, do something about people. Why don't you fast about that? Start depriving yourself or holding yourself from something and think about the need of others and go meet those needs. Why did God say that to them? Well, let's look back at verses 3 and 4 and what was going on. What was going on in the people of Israel. Verses 3 and 4 right there, Isaiah chapter 58 is verses 3 and 4. Why have we fasted and you do not see? This is the people telling God, we fasted and you're ignoring us. What's happening? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desires and drive hard all your workers. You see that? He's saying, you're mistreating people while you're fasting. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. See? God's like, you come at me with all these fasts and all this, but you're mistreating people. You're not taking care of other people. But the kind of fast that pleases God is one that results in a concern for others. That's the kind of fast that pleases God, one that results in the concerns of others. When you start caring for one another, that's why he's saying, give to the hungry, feed them, clothe the one that doesn't, that's naked. Give a roof to those who do not have. You see, maybe if we just took out some time to fast and to think of the other people's needs, maybe we would go out there and give people what they need in the name of Christ. So think about it. If you would fast and had this in mind, this perspective of ministering to others, I want you to think, how much could you do with your time and money for others if you fasted? If you fasted from buying what you want and bought something for somebody else that needs something, if you fasted from enjoying your time, just sitting there doing whatever and then going out there and doing something for others, how much change would it be? Now let me give you another one, to overcome temptation. How many of you believe that? You could fast and you can overcome temptation. Yes, you can. Actually, we talked about fasting as our strongest weapon against temptation. That is our strongest weapon. I think it is. Can you think about it? Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he encountered who? The devil himself, face to face, tempting him with the greatest and biggest things that he could. I mean, the devil threw at Jesus at that time all that he had. And Jesus responded by saying, you know what? Men shall not live on bread alone, but of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he says, you know what? I don't need all these kingdoms. Don't tempt your God. Don't do that. And Jesus just kept himself from falling into temptation by fasting. Now, I want you to think of this because this is very important. The weapon here that Jesus used was fasting. And fasting was, and you would think, okay, so when I fast, I should first and foremost take into account the Word of God. When you're fasting, from whatever you're fasting, take into account the Word of God first and foremost. What did you think Jesus took into account first and foremost? The Word of his Father. I'm pretty sure he was praying. Now, he didn't have a book like we do. Actually, he is the book. He is the Word. He counted on that first and foremost. I'm pretty sure that Jesus wasn't just fasting and saying, oh my God, oh my God. He was having conversation for 40 days and 40 nights with the Father and strengthening himself that way for temptation to encounter and to be able to overcome temptation. You see, so many times Jesus did that. That's our strongest weapon that we have. And he did that before he went out publicly. A lot of us like to go out publicly and say and doing things without even praying or fasting before we do. And we need it. Sometimes there may be some supernatural help that you need in order to resist some temptation. Think about some of those habits. You know, we all have some habits that we say, oh God, if only I could stop doing this. Have you ever considered fasting about it? Fasting and praying and reading the Word about it? You know, some of you may have to fast for a day to get rid of some bad habit. Some of you may need to fast for a week. I'm saying you. Some of us, including myself, may need to fast for a couple of weeks or maybe three or four to get rid of some of those bad habits. Fasting is power when done in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's what you need to do. You see, the thing is that we all encounter temptations. For example, well, you know, they're offering me a job. They're making more money. So I need to move to that job. Wow. Maybe you should pray and fast before you do that. I've seen people leave this city so many times and then come right back and sitting on the pews because they were making more money over there, but it wasn't worth it. Is it worth leaving your family to go away for a job? Think about it before you do that. Is it worth whatever? You see, maybe at work, you're encountering some temptation because there's a coworker that really gets under your skin. They get on your nerves. Maybe you need to fast instead of saying anything. Fast from your words and say, you know what? I'm just going to be quiet. Never say anything to this person for 2 or 3 weeks and start praying for them and for myself. Maybe that'll help. Maybe there is something out there that's tempting you or someone, a person that you just kind of like, and you look and you go, but that's not what you're supposed to do. Maybe you need to fast about that kind of stuff. The kids in school, you know, some of the young people out here, y'all need to think about fasting because you encounter a lot of junk in schools, you see? Maybe we need to fast from the internet. Maybe we need to fast from Facebook. Maybe we need to fast from Snapchat. Maybe we need to fast from Instagram because there's a lot of junk coming through there and all we do is laugh about it and share it with somebody else. That's all the people are doing. You have no idea. I get messages that sometimes I'm like, what are you thinking? It is funny. Sometimes I see stuff and I get sent stuff that I'm like, you know, I'm tempted to laugh, but this is ugly. This is nasty. This is bad. And out there, there's so much stuff. All of these little jokes on all these social media things. You see, we're constantly playing and being playful with these things. And we start just being so playful with them that in our minds, they just become normal. And then we see our kids and we're like, oh my God, you're wasting your time looking and watching all these things that are no good for you. But we adults are doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden, as parents, we don't understand that our children are becoming immune to these kind of things as if it was a game.
And it's not a game. That stuff gets in your head and it doesn't leave. Maybe you ought to look for the word and put it in your mind. That doesn't leave if you really want to. We see somebody else attractive and we start playing around. We start making comments or these jokes about it. You know what? Not good. Some people, I've heard this people say, well, just because I'm looking doesn't mean I'm touching. All right, guess what? Jesus said, you don't need to touch. All you need to do is think about it, and you're done. It's sin. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Right? But we play around with it. Maybe we need to fast. You see, in times of exceptional temptation, you need exceptional measures to put in place. Jesus knew that his temptation was going to be extreme, so he went with extreme measures by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. When was the last time you took some extreme measures on your temptations? We should be able to simply fast from all this stuff. Take away, some parents, it's funny. They come complain to me, I don't know what to do with my kid. Guess what I found on his phone? Or guess what I seen on their phone? Oh, my God, all this junk, all this stuff. And I say, well, take the phone away from them. Well, I can't do that. What if they have an emergency? I remember when I was a kid. You remember when you were a kid? If there was an emergency, what did you do? You walked home. Well, you went to the principal's office and you called. And if you were afraid of the principal because you was always in trouble, you just ran home. Whatever. There's no such need. We're fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. Sometimes we need to take extreme measures. Unplug the internet at your house for a little while. See how people get mad and angry. Didn't I tell you that fasting makes people angry before? But no, you know what? It's okay. You know, it's okay until they fall to these predators and pornography and everything else. You know, it's just not right. It's just not right. Well, you know what? How can they do their homework without their computer? You know, there's a couple of things that have withstood the test of time. Pen and pencil. Or pencil and paper. You can still use that for homework, you know? By the way, while your kids, while you make them fast of technology, why don't you be the example? Hallelujah. Temptation is extreme out there, so let's take extreme measures. And last but not least, we can fast simply for an expression of love and worship to God. You can just quit on some stuff for a while just simply to say, God, I love you, and I worship you. See, in difficulties or whatever, we've talked about how all these reasons for fasting are for difficult circumstances and problems in life. We talked about that. But what about a positive reason to fast? What about fasting simply because you want to love on God and worship him? In Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 38, this is amazing. Three verses in the Bible that summarize the life of an 84-year woman. Check it out. And there was a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Actually, the word marriage there is the word virginity. That means that she got married and was married for 7 years. Okay. And then as a widow to the age of 84. Now, if you think about this, people at the time got married at 14, 15 year old. So let's just say that she got married at 20 something, like we do sometimes. So that means that she was actually a widow for a good 50 years of her life. Now check it out. She never left the temple serving night and day with fasting and prayers. Amazing. Look at verse 38. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Who was she talking about? Jesus. She was at the temple when Jesus was brought as a baby. Now, the idea is that we concentrate on the women, on the woman meeting Jesus, but we don't think about her life that was expressed in those three verses. You see, she was fasting and praying because she simply loved God for so many years in the temple, day and night.
See, it seems to me that it was more important for her to do that than to eat. You see, that your stomach is not your God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says it. You know, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. He's talking about people who just simply live for the body. You know, sometimes you can just do what she did, like worship God by fasting. Maybe come into the Lord's Supper, and before you come to the Lord's Supper, fast for a day and see the Lord's Supper in a different way. And you worship God and you love him like that. Maybe you can choose to replace a meal at your house for a time of worship and adoration. Maybe you need to usually I eat and I sit at the table at 5 or 6, and then I'll eat and it's like 45 minutes at the table. Shut everything down, forget about the table, turn on some worship music and start dancing and singing for the Lord for 45 minutes. Wow. Oh my God, Pastor, that's radical. Yeah. See? Fasting because you love God more than food, maybe. Or fasting is a privilege, not an obligation, okay? Just want you to know. God does not make you fast. You fast because it's a privilege, because it's a privilege of connecting with God at a higher level and experience his grace and his presence in a special way. Fasting is always for the purpose of God. It's centered on God, never centered on your own self. It is not about manipulating God so that he will comply with our desires. It is about manipulating our bodies to comply with his desires. You get that? Maybe you could put that on Facebook. Yeah, post it. Fasting is not about us manipulating God so that we get what we want. Fasting is more like manipulating our bodies so that God get what he wants. See, when we fast in that way, then we're expressing devotion and worship unto God. Amen.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented. A message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.